Did you learn how to ride a bicycle as a young child or a teenager? And has it been a long time since you've ridden a bicycle? Would you like to go challenge yourself and go pick up a bicycle today and see if you can still ride it? Many years ago, Melissa decided that we needed some exercise, and she went out and bought some bicycles for her and myself and our youngest son. And lo and behold, even though it had been 30-some years since I'd ridden a bicycle, I was able to pick the thing up and ride a bicycle. So let's talk about laying that foundation so that you can have a food truck be successful. Welcome to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. My name is Bill Moore. I am a food truck business coach, author of 5 food truck vending books, including Food Truck 101 and Food Truck 201. This podcast is all about helping you start and grow your food truck business. Marketing. We all know the word, but what does it really mean to market for your food truck business? Table Needs has you covered. Their step-by-step food truck marketing guide teaches exactly what you need to do to reach more people and to get more hungry guests ordering from your food truck. Click the link in the description below to get your copy today. Number of years ago, I worked for Burger King, and I was a trainer for Burger King. Loved working there. But like most people, when somebody dangles a little bit of money in front of you, you go, hey, I'll take the money. Whataburger decided they were going to dangle some money in front of me, and it was much more than I was making at Burger King. So I took the money. I go to work at Whataburger. They put me through their training course. It was supposed to take several weeks. And they knew from the first couple of days I was there that, hey, this guy kind of knows what he's doing. So all I had to do was learn their specs, take a test, and they sent me out to go run restaurants. On Monday, one particular week after my training was over, I go to meet the district manager in the store in Sandestin, Florida. If you're familiar with Sandestin, that is a very, very ritzy place to live. Very expensive. It's also a destination for rich snowbirds and very wealthy families to come spend vacation. We have a beach, very beautiful beach. And it is perfect weather for spring and summer and late into the fall. We're always, always busy. So the Sandestin Whataburger was one of the highest volume Whataburgers that our particular franchise had. So I was excited to go work there. So I go to meet the district manager and the new store manager and get introduced to them. I already knew the district manager. He and I had gone way back. We'd worked at Hardee's, we'd worked at Burger King, and now we're working together at Whataburger. So I go in and meet them, and they're in the office, and they have a bunch of papers strewn about, and they both have a very perplexed look on their face. I said, Ben, what's up? He said, Bill, you don't want to know. The computer's down. I said, okay. What's the problem with the computer being down? He goes, well, we got about an hour. We have to turn in our figures for last week, and we don't have them ready because the computer's down. And I said, well, where are you at? He said, we need to figure out our food costs. I said, okay, that's not a big deal. He goes, but we don't know how to do it. Now, I know we were taught how to do it at Hardee's, at least my franchise was. He worked for a different franchise. And I know at Burger King we knew how to do it, but we did use a computer, but it was still the basics. He said, I just don't know how to do the math on it. I said, Ben, all these years you've worked in a restaurant, you don't know how to do the math on it? He says, no, I've never done it without a computer. I said, okay, give me all the paperwork. When do we have to have this conference call? He says, about an hour. It's about 9 o'clock. I said, all right, let's go. I'll show you both how to do food costs. So then I sat down and for the next 45 minutes taught them how to go through their invoices and do their own food cost without aid of a computer. The mathematical formula is real simple. You take last week's ending inventory, which becomes this week's beginning inventory. You're going to add in all of the food purchases. You're going to add in any transfers into the restaurant. You're going to subtract out any transfers out of the restaurant, because if you work for a franchise, you will end up borrowing stuff back and forth between the different restaurants. And then the only other figure you need is the ending inventory amount. And that's where they were hung up. Because the computer wasn't working, they had no way of knowing how much money they had in inventory. They knew how many cases of each product they had, and how many pieces within each case, but they didn't know the grand total because it required them to use a calculator. And the problem with using a calculator is it's slow and it's easy to mess up because they typically don't run tapes. And a calculator works different than an adding machine. What you need, what an accountant uses, and what you need when you're going to sit and do something by hand is an adding machine. So I showed them how to take the real fancy calculator they had sitting on the desk that did run a tape, although they never kept a tape in it because they didn't use a thing. So I showed them how to switch the switch and make it become an adding machine, and then I sat there and added up all the inventory, and I showed them how to do it. So I got an ending inventory count, did the math on the beginning inventory, the transfers ins and outs and all the purchases, and showed them what the food cost was. And Ben said, that can't be right. It's too high. And I said, Bill, don't make mistakes when it comes to math. This is the right number. He goes, it can't be. we're going to be in so much trouble. And he goes, well, you're going to be in so much trouble, pointing at the store manager. And I said, why is this going to be a problem? He said, it's about 2% higher than it needs to be. I said, well, you got a problem then, because the math is correct. So the rest of that day, they fooled around with the computer. They had their conference call, got yelled at for having a food cost that was 2% out, and messed around with the computer until it came back up. And then they input in their ending inventory, and guess what? Lo and behold, the number that I hand calculated was exactly the number their computer spit out for their food cost. They were out 2%. But because the computer now made it official, they decided to take it serious and go back and recount and look at what was wrong with their either their count or the way they're doing their produce or the way that they're prepping or the portions. Something was wrong. But they didn't take it serious until the computer said, hey, Goofy, you have a problem. But I told them at 9 o'clock in the morning they had a problem. So where does all this lead to? This leads to you having a strong foundation in how to do all the elements of your business. ChatGPT and AI is the excuse now to do everything artificially. Problem is, if you allow ChatGPT to show you how to do your food costs and then use it every week to do your food costs, you ain't going to know how to handle your food costs if ChatGPT decides to charge you $100 a month and you don't want to pay it, or it decides that I think today we'll have an hallucination and tell you the food cost is out 50%. You didn't know that AI has hallucinations, did you? AI is a large language model. It's designed to spit back out words in a pattern that makes it recognizable for humans to be able to read. Doesn't mean that the words it spits out make sense. It also doesn't mean that the math it spits out makes sense. They're still having ChatGPT and all the other artificial intelligence learn mathematics so that they will give the same answer over and over and over. But what they've found is it doesn't actually learn mathematics. It just spits out what it's been taught. So somewhere out on the internet, someone's taught it wrong. So it spits out that number occasionally, making the math incorrect. Now, if you don't know how to do the math, you won't know there's a problem. It could tell you 5 weeks in a row that you're running an awesome food cost, but you're not going to notice that because you're spending more and more money. And you're going to go, but the food cost is great. I don't know what the problem is. And the first thing I'm going to say is, are you doing the inventory or is someone else? Are you the one doing the math or is someone else? Doesn't have to be ChatGPT. It could be an accountant. If someone else is doing the math for you and your bank account doesn't say profitability, but what they're telling you says profitability, there's a problem. That's where embezzlement starts. If you don't understand the math behind your business, you will be ripped off at some point. The second that you turn over check signing power to an accountant or a bookkeeper for them to pay an invoice, they can skim off the top if you don't understand the math behind your own business. Now, ChatGPT is not going to write a fake check, but it could tell you that your food cost is awesome, that your payroll is fantastic. And until your bank account says, you won't notice. Build the foundation. Understand what you're doing before you ever turn something over to a time-saving apparatus like ChatGPT. People say, put in all your information and let it spit out your business plan. Well, guess what? ChatGPT is not going to be cooking burgers, is it? It's not going to be running a food truck. You are. You're the one that needs to understand how to do your own marketing plan, how to go out and figure out if your city can handle another barbecue truck or another taco truck. ChatGPT can't do that for you. It can't go out and analyze the food and go, hey, this is delicious. You're in a people business. So get out there and talk to people. You're in a numbers business. Numbers don't lie. Understand your numbers. Use ChatGPT to save time, but do not rely on it for a business plan. Do not rely on it for your numbers. It's not an accountant. Give it the stuff that doesn't matter if it screws it up or it hallucinates something. Like, hey, write 50 weeks worth of marketing content. And all you got to do is edit out all the little icons and gibberish that it puts in there thinking it's cutesy and edit the hashtag so that they actually make sense in the real words. If you're going to take shortcuts without having laid a foundation so you can recognize when the shortcut isn't working, you're going to fail. Save yourself the time. If you already think that I need shortcuts and I'm going to use ChatGPT because it's awesome, it ain't cooking burgers. It can't tell you that your food sucks or your food's awesome because it can't taste. It doesn't do market research to see if its own stuff that it spits out has any kind of response pattern to it to go, yes, we need to duplicate this one. All of those little things are just tools that ChatGPT can do. Basically, ChatGPT is a mechanized hammer, an air hammer. It can pound those nails in super quick, but unless the operator knows how to use the machine properly, and then also knows to double check the result. All of those nails going into those studs may not be hitting anything. And then when the plywood falls off, whose fault is it? It's going to be the operator, the person who was standing there when the thing was functioning. When your business fails, whose fault's it going to be? Can't blame ChatGPT. Can't say, well, this marketing program it came up with sucks. Nope. You chose to do it. Accept responsibility. Lay your own foundation and learn this job. Then take all the shortcuts you want. Otherwise, you'll end up being like my friend Ben and the manager at Whataburger, who are sitting there staring at a pile of papers and didn't know what to do with it. If you get so bound by technology, you won't be able to run your business. Because this is a food business, and it's a people business. It's not a technology business. So quit hiding behind technology. Get out there and do the job, learn the job, and become successful. Thank you so much for listening to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. If you're finding all the information helpful to your food truck business, please become a monthly supporter of the podcast. Just hit the support button or follow the link in the description. Every little bit does help keep us going. Join our Facebook group. It's called Food Truck Training. We have a whole bunch of awesome members at all different levels, from brand new beginners to decades-old veterans. They've all got your back when it comes to helping you with your food truck. And again, thank you for listening. Come back tomorrow, because you know I got plenty more to say when it comes to helping you and your food truck business grow.